Hear now the word of the Lord, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Let's pray once more. Father, as it is that you have appointed this special instruction, indeed, the first of these commandments with promise in that second table of the law, we pray that you would give us grace now as we each would seek to learn to honor aright those men and women in authority over us whom you have given to be our parents, and that even those who are now far from that life of home, we pray that we would likewise learn to honor in such a way that would be an honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, dear children of the congregation, yes, you. This letter to the saints in Ephesus, in Christ Jesus, is not just written to the big people. Indeed, it's for you. And the very fact that you are numbered among the saints in Ephesus, in Christ Jesus, the very fact that you, as we saw before, are children called to be filled with the Spirit and to submit to one another in the fear of the Lord, obeying your parents in the Lord. Well, this may be surprising to some people, I don't know. But dear children, the kingdom of God belongs to you. And you have just as many blessings promised to you as your parents do, for you believe in him too. And there are very special ways that we read tonight that you are able to serve the Lord and to be an honor to them and to him. So you realize that what's being taught here to you is more or less what is also being taught in this whole section to the grown-ups, right? At work, in marriage, in the state, as we read earlier in Romans, in every relationship of authority, we have these principles. But that means, you see, children, that obeying and honoring those in authority is not just going to stop when you get older, as much as you think, oh, I can't wait to get under this authority. As a matter of fact, when you grow up, you realize just how many more people in the world there are to obey. And this is a lesson that everyone, therefore, has to learn at home before they grow up. But unfortunately, many people do not learn it. And you know what? The older they get, the harder it is for them to learn. Honoring and obeying people, especially sinful people like you and me, never comes easily or naturally. It's a matter of great grace. But the older you get, the more will be required of you to obey your teachers at school and then your managers at work and the traffic laws on the road and the tax man this time of year and to obey the elders in the church and all the laws of society and so forth. Peter writes, submit yourself, therefore, to every authority instituted among men. And as you get older, the more you realize how much that requires. So children, I tell you, listen up. If you can learn to obey and honor now for the Lord's sake, willingly and cheerfully, then such obedience will not be so much of a burden, a chafing to you later. But when children don't learn while they're young to obey those authorities that God has put in their lives when they grow up, it not only brings them, but their family, their loved ones, their churches, their employers, many tears. And if this wasn't a Presbyterian church, you would have just heard a bunch of amens. Exactly. So I'm telling this to you, children, as the Lord himself is addressing you in his word. Children, as someone who before I knew the Lord brought the people that loved me many tears. It's hard to obey and honor people because they're sinful like you and me. They are not perfect like God. If you learn to do it now, do well. If you don't learn it now, it's going to be harder later. both for you and the people who love you. But if you can learn to obey cheerfully, if you can learn that you are not doing it for your parents or for that person or this person, or even for yourself so much as for the God who has loved you and who's given himself for you in Jesus and who's asked you to do this, even as Christ himself has submitted to the Father. If you can learn to obey cheerfully in the Lord, why, what a blessing it will be to you and so many in life. It will save your family many tears. It will make your work more of a delight than a burden. It will make your church life so much happier. And you will bless those in authority over you. You will be a credit to their government and not a grief. But most importantly of all, you will please and honor the Lord in the sight of men. And then you will know how to raise up your own children who can be under authority also. You see, if you've never mastered this attitude in yourself, if you are always going around saying everything my authority does is wrong and unfair and this is why I'm not submitting and so forth, if you're always saying, I can't submit, I won't obey, that person doesn't deserve, it's very likely that you will hear those same words one day from your children. And you can tell your children, well, I know I said all that, but do as I say, not as I do. But your actions speak louder than your lectures, and your example teaches more than your command. And so, children, this is much bigger than just you. This is very, very important for all the people around you and for those generations to come. Now is the time that God has appointed that you should learn to honor and obey authority in the Lord. And I know you don't usually get to hear a sermon directly addressed to you, children. And of course, I realize that most of you adults here tonight have parents that are still living. And so although you don't have to obey them as you did earlier, you do have to honor them, as we'll see, every bit as much. And so there is application here for everyone. But mainly what I want to do here is what the inspired apostle is doing in this very section of the letter, speaking to you children in the home. And I hope that you will listen carefully, and particularly to what the Lord has to say to you today. It is a challenge, but one with many blessings promised. So children, what does the Lord want from you? The first thing we read in verse 1 is, well, it is an imperative, a command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord. I'm going to show you there's two commands, and there's two reasons given. So that'll be the basic outline or format of the sermon today. A command, the reason given. The command, the reason given. And we'll conclude with a little bit of application. But the first one, the first command, children, obey your parents in the Lord, right from the text. And just as we read at the beginning of this letter, Jesus has been made over all things, so he is the one who has been made ahead of that home life of boys and girls. That the love that you already have for your parents and the way that you already obey them may now be something greater, something holier, something that is a large part of your service to God and the honor and love that you have for your Savior and your heavenly King. This is your special holy service right now. Children can be told to do many things, it's true, but children, he singles out here, obey your parents. Wait, that's not what it says. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Remember that. Remember the section above where it starts here. Filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Children, in the Lord. That is to say, children, you are not told to obey your parents just because you love them or fear them, or because they know better than you, because the fact is sometimes they don't. You are to obey your parents because you know it pleases your loving Father in heaven. You should want to please your parents, of course, but what are your parents compared to God? What is wanting to please them compared to wanting to please God? And this will help you see when the going gets tough, and no matter what you do, it seems like you can't please your parents. Well, the very act of trying children is so pleasing in the Lord's sight. The secret to learning to submit to any kind of imperfect human authority is here. It's not them you are honoring, ultimately. you need to recognize that this is a difficult but valuable lesson. That you are out to please them out of a heart filled for love for him, for the Lord Jesus Christ, and all that he has given you and done for you and been for you out of the joy of love. And this must be the reason for all earthly respect and obedience. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Now, I know that all of you are saying to yourselves, but Mr. Vance, it's not as easy as you think. And if this wasn't a Presbyterian church, you would have heard a lot of amens. Amen. I understand that it's hard for you. It is hard. And don't forget that there was only one perfect child ever born. Consider that this morning. Jesus. He's the only one who obeyed his parents like this all the time. And this is the thing that makes him a very perfect savior for you. For all that you haven't done, he has more than done. And done everything on your behalf that you could not. You might be the righteousness of God in him. But do you know what the Bible says about Jesus? And how hard it was for him? I mean this, how hard it was for him. For it's written, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Did you know? I don't mean hard in terms of his will. I mean that he suffered in his obedience. Jesus knows, kids. Did Jesus know what it was like to obey his heavenly Father, which is the point here, till the point of death, when it was so hard and painful for him to do so? And he says, Father, take it away. My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. Absolutely. Did he know what it was like to honor and obey his parents, even though his parents weren't anywhere near as righteous as he was? Even though he always, always, always was right. He always was right. He always knew better than them. Even though they lost their temper at him, no doubt, for no reason, if they are like any other kind of parent. Even when his parents daily did not act the way that Jesus knew perfectly well that they should. You know, children think that they know how parents ought to act, right? As Mark Twain said, when I was 17, I couldn't believe how little my father understood. But I was 21, I couldn't believe how much the old man had learned. All right. You know, children think that they know. It's part of the problem here. But Jesus knew how they should act. He really knew. And he had to endure their wrong choices. He sure did. All this and far more than we can speak about this evening. The Lord knows. You might think, I bet it would be hard to be the parents of the Son of God. I bet it would be hard for a parent to have a child who didn't know better than them all the time. But no, we read in Luke chapter 2 that he was subject to them. That even though his parents were not anywhere near as holy as he was, even though he always knew better, he was always willingly and cheerfully subject to them for God's sake. It meant that he obeyed them and he honored them. And because Jesus himself had to learn to obey by the things he suffered, it goes right on to say after that, that he can now help you too. He knows what it's like, he knows what you need, and he is appointed to this, to be your high priest, children, in these very things. When the going gets tough, you are especially able to call upon him in this matter, and he can help you in the way that no arm of flesh can if you ask him. Because he knows what it's like, and he is full of compassion, he will help and strengthen and bless you. Now, we started way back in chapter 5, verse 18, about this being filled with the Spirit and submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. And children, as you are filled with the Spirit, remember we talked about that, as you are led by the Spirit of God, you will more and more be able to do what we're talking about today. Certainly not perfectly, but in a growing and real way. And Jesus wants you, boys and girls, therefore, in this, to learn to follow him, to be like him. Jesus wants you to do it because it is right and beautiful. I realize that the world makes a mockery of kids that have this attitude, and so often in school, and they definitely don't think that this is either right or desirable, as perhaps even in recent generations. as frankly most of the nations of the world still think, as most of the history of the world itself can testify, but in the West, it's a whole different story. People today don't know better than God, who invented the family and who has appointed things to reflect his own rule. So, children, this is a very large part now of you becoming like Christ, right now for you. Remember that he grew up in a family just like you did. He wants you to learn to share his life, even by the things you suffer. And he wants you to grow up to be with him and follow him always in so many ways. And so the command, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And the reason given, for it is right. Here's the reason. You children, notice that there's a reason given here for a command given to you to obey your parents. Why should you do this? Not because they're better, not because they're smarter, not because they are always acting in a common, fair way, not because they are, is it a cultural thing? Is it because you will be in trouble if you don't obey them? Why should you obey your parents? It's right. It's right. The Lord himself submitted in this way to his Father in heaven and through him to his parents. And apart from anything else I could say, which I could say much on this thing, the whole Bible testifies that this is right. And God wants you to learn to do right joyfully from the heart because you want to. And because you love the Lord and want to please him. It is right. It's the Lord's will that you should do it. More to be said, but we will go on to the second command. Verse 2 reads, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Paul quoting from earlier in the Bible to remind you of a command, which I'm sure you already know. But children, do you know? Do you know what Paul is quoting to you? Can one of you children tell me what Paul is quoting when he says these words? This is, of course, the Ten Commandments, and actually not the version we find in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, but that which is in the other place it's given, Deuteronomy chapter 5, of course. In fact, if you want to put a finger in there, kids, we will switch over to Deuteronomy chapter 5 for a moment, where you are very directly addressed again. And just as Paul expects you to know this reference without having to explain it, it'd be good for you to turn there to see this. And you'll be able to understand what Paul expects you to understand. Chapter 5, verse 16. Honor your father and mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long, and that it may be well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This, after all, one of the most important things in the Bible. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is, of course, okay. But this, the Lord's own great summary of his law, the part that he wrote with his own finger, that it might be indelibly etched word for word on your mind. And now, if you look at these commandments, you'll see that there are 10 of them, nicely arranged in my Bible, in a certain order. These first four about how we should love the Lord, and the last six about how we should love other people. And as I read off these commandments, as you read through these commandments, you notice something interesting. Of these last six commandments that talk about our relationships with each other, there's only one commandment here that's positive. That doesn't say thou shalt not. That says positively something to do. And more than that, there's only one of those in this bottom section that comes with a promise. That's wonderful. And more than that, there was something that made the list ahead of coveting, ahead of stealing, ahead of lying, ahead of stealing, ahead of adultery, even ahead of murder. This is interesting. This may be a big surprise. At the very top of this list, it says, honor your father and your mother, and so forth. Rebellion, says the Lord, is this the sin of witchcraft? Do you mean that there's something more destructive to a society, more harmful to the world and one's neighbors, more flagrantly disobedient to God than these other commandments? I tell you, this is at the root of all these other things that we are talking about. That if we are first rebellious and disrespectful in our very first relationship, toward our parents, who gave us life and sustenance, will we not be more rebellious and disrespectful toward others who are less well disposed to us? And all disrespect is ultimately, you see, directed toward God. Disrespect toward parents carries over into our relationship with God, into all other authority. And what does that mean for American society? It's not good. So let's have everyone understand the gravity of the fifth commandment. It's far worse in the eyes of the Lord to have rebellion than in our society today, in which it is almost made a virtue. Our society absolutely does not like the idea of submission to authority to begin with. And indeed, in our form of Republican government, we've got it set up now that so our rulers need to obey us or we'll get rid of them. Every area of our lives has been impacted by this reversion, by this revolution, and especially the societal revolution of a previous generation. So the whole matter of sacrifice and submission and the things that we've seen before have so much now to do with your experience as you are seeking both to learn and to unlearn the traditions of our society. Matthew 15, verse 3, Jesus said, "Why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? God commanded, saying, 'Honor your father and mother,' and 'He who curses father or mother'" — you know the next line — "'let him be put to death.' And you say, 'Whoever says to his father or mother, well, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, and he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition.'" You are so sure that you are doing right, and you are in rebellion because of your tradition. And if that was the case, even among the Pharisees of Israel, what can we say about the modern West? We are the most anti-authoritarian generation in the history of the world, and we are making such commandments of God of no effect by our tradition. I will speak more about this next time, Lord willing, but am I saying that parents have the right, therefore, to stomp on you, serve themselves, mistreat you? Absolutely not. We've already considered such things in the biblical teaching of those in authority. It says the absolute reverse. The absolute reverse. And I listed out at that time biblical resources for the protection of those under authority according to the word of God, right up to making the call to the magistrate. You better make the call if it needs to be made, but this is another matter. In all good things, it is your part to honor father and mother as much as it depends upon you to obey lawful commands. And so, moving on, I tell you, we have a reason now given to obey this commandment. Reason: the promise and blessing of long life. There is this positive command to honor. And it's the only one of those commands in the second part that comes with such a promise. It is not only right, children, but your days may be long and it may be well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. God wants to be able to encourage you with a special promise, knowing how hard it is. This is the command that gets the promise. In those difficult times, there is a promise of future reward. And if you turn back to Ephesians, you'll see how this matter of living long in the land will apply to you, Gentile Christians, not in the land. In Ephesians chapter 6, switching back. By the way, the word order is just a little bit different because Paul is quoting from the Greek Old Testament and the word order is just shifted around exactly the same meaning. But you notice he makes one substantial change when he commands children in a Gentile land to obey. You're not living in the land that the Lord your God has given to you. But verse 3, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. That is to say, the blessing originally given was never merely for the godly children in the land of Canaan. This is a blessing that was intended for every godly child in every land at all times, specifically applied, of course, in that season. It will go well with you, and you will enjoy length of days on the earth. Now you say, I knew of this godly child once who did not live long on the earth. Well, let me quote from Matthew Henry, wise comment: that some obedient children are unfortunate and short-lived is no more inconsistent with this promise than that some diligent men are poor is consistent with the declaration, the hand of the diligent makes rich. Diligence, as a general rule, does secure riches, and obedient children, as a general rule, are prosperous and happy. The general promise is fulfilled to individuals so far as it shall serve God's glory and their own good. End quote. But even so, if godly children might lose anything in the way of long days in the earth at the moment, know that very, very soon now, they shall inherit the earth, and there shall be days without end for you to enjoy who have kept this in your heart for the Lord's sake. And something, one more thing needs to be said here. Remember how that forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist, how it was prophesied of him that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the hearts of the children to the father, lest I come and strike the land with a curse. And you know how that was fulfilled in John, and how that generation rejected John and Jesus, and the land indeed was struck with a curse. And a great, great many people in Jesus' generation did not live long in the land, but received the promised curse. For they not only rebelled against the mom and the dad, as John was seeking to turn them away from that, but then to the authority of the state in Rome. And Rome put such a large number of them to death, perhaps up to a third, if Josephus's numbers are anywhere right, and enslaved a great many more. Rather than enjoying the blessing of long life in the land, they lost their nation because of their rebellion. This is not a theoretical promise of blessing or curse. And it is not a difficult thing to look around the world today and to see in how many ways the people who will not submit to authority are their own worst enemies. And as the Bible says, the way of the transgressor is hard, but in keeping the commandments of God, there is great reward. Dear children, a long time before you were born, there was a guy named Bob Dylan who says you gotta serve somebody. If you rebel against the authorities that God has put in your life, following the so-called wisdom of the world, you know whose authority you're now under? Satan's authority. He is the quintessential rebeller and seeks to enlist people in his kingdom against the Lord. These are the two choices put to us in Scripture: to submit ourselves to God, who has ordained those parents, or submit to the devil. And the devil will not be a very friendly master. Of course, he doesn't appear as a frightening beast with horns and a pitchfork like in those Tom and Jerry cartoons. He promises you, rather, in subtle ways, freedom, autonomy, deliverance from stifling. He appeals to your pride of intellect, telling you to think for yourself, not accept some old, outmolded standards of the Bible written so long ago in some remote culture, that you will follow him in his rebellion. And beware that you do not heed this voice, and especially beware that you do not share in his end. For blessing and long life to those who honor and obey for the Lord's sake will bring great, great riches and will be more than abundantly rewarded, if not in this life, then surely in that which is to come. And ruin and misery will attend to those who will not. Now, I briefly wish to consider the case of us, grown-up children. Jesus, as a grown man, said, I honor my Father, by which he meant his Father in heaven, but it was just as true with respect to his parents on the earth. You remember that Jesus was an adult speaking to adults in Matthew 15 when he spoke of children honoring their aging parents, who in context especially needed their support, which they were sinfully not giving and saying they were serving God and doing that. Obeying father and mother does not stay the same when you grow up. It does not stay the same, especially when you're married and have a home of your own. At least that's the way it's supposed to work. I realize that parents can often provoke their children to wrath in this very area. That's for next week. It shouldn't happen. I'm only saying. The point is this. Although obedience does not continue as before, according to Jesus, honoring father and mother are to last to their final days. As Paul writes to Timothy, honor widows in the church who are really widows, including support. But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good. and acceptable before God. These things command that they may be blameless. But if anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Honoring father and mother is a lifelong obligation for you and for the church. It's a matter, clearly, of support. It's a matter of attitude, of prayer, of love and care and expression. It goes on with such a tender and even submissive attitude to the last of our days. How blessed it is if we learn it even late in life. How blessed it is to them if we learn to honor them all the more. How blessed it will be for your home if these things are yours in abundance. What joy it will bring to your Father in heaven, not only to him, but your parents on earth. In conclusion, people love to hear that. They perk up. In the days when my kids were younger and my wife couldn't just leave them at home, had to take them shopping with her, I used to joke that I was going to make her a special T-shirt to wear while she was shopping at Walmart. Because you see, wherever she went, even then we only had four at the time, wherever she went, people always asked her the same questions, here, there, everywhere, felt very free to do so. And you know what they always said? Well, this is what I was going to put on her T-shirt. Yes, I sure have my hands full. Yes, I am brave. And yes, they really are all mine. And that's funny, but it's also a little sad how many people every time in the store said those same things. Wow. You know what, children? Many people these days, unlike in virtually all previous generations, don't want to have children, at least not many. And you know what? They're not ashamed to say why. You know, I carry my little one in McDonald's to order some food. You know what they say? Ah, oh, so cute. Just wait. Oh, yeah, you parents have heard it. Just wait. You wait till those teenage years. You wait till adolescence. Adolescence, which lasts until, what, 34 these days? You wait. This is the reaction. This is why it's not only the matter of the hearts to the children to the parents. It's the parents to the children. It's sad that my children even have to hear such things. And they hear it a lot. It's sad for me to hear that the expectation in today's authority relationships is misery and rebellion. And how can you possibly have so many? You sure have your hands full. You sure are brave. Because I couldn't handle it. You just wait. You'll learn. This is where we've come to. So far from the biblical picture, we get this all the time. You know what happened to my father-in-law once? This is true. I hope I don't embarrass him. He was out to dinner with his six children at a restaurant. You know what was happening at his table? You know what the children were doing? They were eating and talking and visibly enjoying themselves and being good. And the parents were enjoying them. They were enjoying being out together. And a man came up to Mr. Trice and offered him a job. I need to have you come work for me. So unusual. So honoring, respectful, joyful. Obedient children in a restaurant. I've never seen it. Children, do you know how you can not only please the Lord, but declare to the world that you are a Christian in whom the very Spirit of God dwells, as it did in Jesus? And preach this message in a very loud way that makes the whole world take notice and maybe even get your dad a job? Obey your parents in the Lord. It's right. Kids, you honor your father and mother, and God makes you a promise. It's going to go well with you. You're going to enjoy long life on the earth. And even if your parents don't seem ever to be pleased with you, I want you to know that the Lord is very, very pleased with you. When you are seeking to honor them for his sake. For we do have a Father who never sins, who never fails, the best Father that anyone could ever, ever hope for. And when you learn to honor your parents and obey them, even as our Lord Jesus did, you will make your Father in heaven happy when you can't make anyone else happy. You will be also the envy of parents everywhere. And people will ask me, what's going on at this table? How do you do it? And I get the joy of saying, it's not me. It's not me. Be filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord, children to your parents. And then you see, when this has taken place in your life, in some measure, it won't be your parents that you are honoring and obeying and pleasing so much as God. And that in the sight of the world. And dear children, what could be better than that? Let us pray. Gracious Savior, you have healed many lepers who could not feel that which is rotten and decaying in them. Will you not heal some unfeeling hearts today? Having sent forth your Son to redeem those under the law that we might receive the adoption as your children, we pray that your eternal family might be all the more blessed to grow and expand and to glorify your holy name, that you might receive more praise from us, not just this hour, but in every home and wherever we go. Is this not a prayer that you delight to hear, gracious Father? Is this not why you were appointed, Lord Jesus, our High Priest? Well, as it is written, as you learned obedience by the things you suffered, that you may be a help to those who likewise suffer, we each one come to you today and ask for grace. Grace to honor and worship you in reverence and holy fear, and others for your holy name's sake, which we pray. Amen.